Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show here, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Oh boy, what a week. So my point I'm going to try to do here today, my task is to try to fit 4.5 hours of programming into 56 minutes. No, I can't do that. I just got to break it down. There is so much going on. And I'll just give you a little bit of a structure of the program today so you know what to expect. First of all, I'm going to kind of cover what we are combating. This is all new, but it's still old. It's sort of the enemy coming around, still squawking, fighting, the vitriol, the venom coming from the left. I'm going to give you some snippets of what's going on from the left, and then we're going to go to what Donald Trump has proposed. I'm going to just be reading some of his declarations and proposals for different areas of policy. And then we're going to finish with, those would be the plans, and then we're going to finish with the players. I can't get through all the players. There's a lot of people who have been appointed, and I don't need to do that. But you'll get a taste of what's happening. And I have to just tell you, this is above and beyond anything I could ever, ever have imagined. I mean, all I really wanted to do was for him to win. And I mean, that was just the goal, win. But then when I look at who he's appointing, how strongly he's come out, and I'll tell you, the stronger he comes out, the harsher the enemy is going to come out. And they already are. They're wasting no time whatsoever. And I'm just going to go through a few things here to show you just how deep the venom is coming from, I have to say, Satan. I think these people are certainly demonically inspired, some of them demonically possessed. It could not possibly be a greater contrast between darkness and light. No way. I've never seen it in my years that there has been this contrast. The Lord said, a nation divided against itself shall not stand. We are divided. Can it stand? Well, that's what we're going to find out in the days, months, and years ahead. But so we're going to talk about what we're combating, and then we're going to deal with the solutions. First of all, with Trump's plans. Second of all, with Trump's people. But I want to start with, of all places, coming out of Disney's retooled Snow White. So the star of this is some gal I've never heard of her before. Maybe you do. Rachel Zegler. And what she has come out here with the last couple days is just astonishing. But not really. But that she continues to talk this way, she doesn't get it. And I guess even before I get to that, this vitriol, today at the post office, there is a woman who is definitely pro-Harris. Definitely pro. There wasn't any question about it. And I just said to her, so you voted for Kamala Harris, huh? So, yep, and you guys are afraid of a woman president. I said, well, why would you say that? You are afraid. That's all you can't handle the idea of a woman president. And I said to her, well, the issue here is not a woman president. It's what kind of woman president? Kamala Harris is... And I just said it. I'm sorry I went for it. Provocative. I said, to me, she's a Jezebelian witch from hell, demon possessed. And this woman just went, you can't handle women. You can't handle. I said, well, wait a second. You think that the only reason in the entire world that somebody would not vote for a woman is because they don't like women? Is that it? The misogyny gambit? Is that what we're doing here? There, it doesn't matter how bad a person is, or no matter how wicked they might be, no matter how much they lie. And now I'm going beyond what I said to her, of course. But if you don't like a person who lies, cheats, is immoral, but if they're the wrong gender as far as you're concerned, then it can only be sexist. That's the only explanation. I mean, I just cannot. It's just hard to believe. And I guess I need to quit picking fights. But this Rachel Zegler, Snow White, she's got a message for all the 76 million people that voted for Donald Trump. She said she hopes that Donald Trump and all of the people who voted for him will never know peace. In other words, they will never, ever have peace in their heart. Kind of interesting she would use those words. Then she went on to F-bomb, and I do mean the F-bomb, Donald Trump, F-U, which is a favorite word of the left because that's just, you know, they just seem to enjoy using profanity. And then obviously slamming him in every way that she could. She just went on to say there's a deep, deep sickness in this country. So to Rachel Zegler, everyone in the world is at fault except Rachel Zegler. She said, quote, I find myself speechless in the midst of this. Another 4 years of hatred, which is interesting. Who has just vocalized all the hatred? Rachel Zegler, the usual left-wing projection. Call other people what you're guilty of yourself. She said, leaning towards a world that I don't want to live in anymore. May Trump supporters and Trump voters and Trump himself never know peace, for there is no help, there's no counsel, there's no salvation in any of them, basically is what she's saying. So let's just skip over now to the left lying about Pete Hegseth, the nominee for the defense secretary. You know, they're going to attack him. That we know, but consider the fact here that when you read Pete Hegseth's, I have a hard time saying that, resume, that the guy's got two Army Commendation Medals. He's got two Ivy League degrees. Served 20 years in the military, served in Guantanamo, Iraq, Afghanistan. He's an advocate for veterans. Also, he never hired drag queens to boost recruitment, which Tampon Tim fully supports. The AP hates this guy. And as one writer said, the AP doesn't want to inform you. They want to misinform you. But why are they attacking this guy whose qualities for defense secretary are triple, both in degree and quantity and quality and legitimacy and honesty, triple Tampon Tim's lies and lousy service in the military and cutting out of going to Iraq at the last second he decides to get out of the military so he doesn't have to go. He's basically a legal deserter. That's what Tampon Tim is. But Hegseth is a defense secretary. Walz is vice presidential candidate. Wouldn't you think that the vice presidential candidate would have a higher criteria to pass than a defense secretary, especially when two-thirds of his platform or talking points pertain to his alleged glorious military service. You see, if people are complaining about him because they said that Hegseth is not, you know, he's not the general, he doesn't have that kind of experience. Well, this is a little bit of a history and civics lesson here as it relates to the interrelationship between generals of the military and the executive department, the president and the legislature, in the civilian force. Generals. Generals were never, ever designed, nor are they ever allowed, should to, or should not be allowed, to make policy. So the fact that Hegseth has never been a general is irrelevant, because as a defense secretary, those are the ones that make policies, not generals. I mean, and why not? Well, generals, as a saying goes, you know, all they have is a hammer. And to a general, everything looks like a nail. So there's only one way to deal with everything, and that's just blow up and kill everybody. I mean, that's it's the executive and the legislature, but primarily the executive, the president, who establishes the military policy. The generals are only to execute it. So to say we need to have a general, person with a general background or experience, like the loser Lloyd Austin, what a piece of trash he is absolutely outside the design, the historical design of the interrelationship between a defense secretary, who is part of the policy arm of that function, and the generals, who are only simply to carry out the orders that they're given. Well, anyway, let's move on to Princeton professor here, Eddie Cloud, Glaude. I don't know. He writes, white Americans voted for Trump because they feel that whiteness is under threat. I mean, seriously, can we get any more alarmist? Can we get any more stupid? Oh, he's a Princeton professor. He's Ivy League. I got to tell you, I'm done referring to those schools as Ivy League schools. From now on, to me, they're poison Ivy League schools. I mean, this is just, it's ridiculous. He says that the biggest reasons white Americans cast their vote for President-elect Donald Trump is because many of them are concerned with preserving whiteness. So let me get this straight, professor. 56% of Latino men voted for Donald Trump because they wanted to preserve whiteness. Is that right? Well, you know what? I don't have to vote for Donald Trump to preserve whiteness. All I got to do is have some more kids with a white woman, and I've preserved whiteness. If I had that goal, which I don't, but this is it's just lame. Continues with this. Well, let's be clear. That sounds like Obama, right? Trumpism is a form of identity politics because we don't want to say that my beautiful white skin. We don't want to say my beautiful white skin, right? This is a black guy saying this. This is Princeton professor. Who's talking about their beautiful white skin anyway? I mean, there are only about 53 shades of whiteness from Scandinavians all the way to, what, Italians and all the shades in between. I mean, this is just so dumb. Racial identity politics is advocated and pursued by those who seek racial divide and use it as a weapon, like this moron at Princeton does. He said, that's what Trump said. He didn't say that. Tucker Carlson was saying it at Madison Square Garden. Well, how did he say it? According to this man, the way he said it was, we have been given permission to call BS on this wokeism stuff. We will no longer be made to feel guilty. And this guy says, what that means is we will not be replaced. Huh? Professor, you should be fired. You don't have a brain unless, I don't know, could you find a brain in your, I don't know. Maybe they did a rectal exam. They might find a brain in this guy. Let's go to Jimmy Kimmel. We're not going to stop with Jimmy Kimmel because we got a whole batch of left-wing crybabies here. Tampon Tim Walz is in the same picture crying with Doug Emhoff. We got Kimmel and Gobert crying on TV over the results of the election. I mean, are all left-wing men eunuchs? I mean, goodness gracious. So Kimmel's on the air the other night. I don't watch him, but I read what he says. So he made fun of Melania Trump. And how did he make fun of her? He made fun of her accent. And then imagining and conjuring up a fantasy where she goes and divorces Trump. So let me ask you, Jimmy, baby, you little racist twit. Who is the racist? You are. Imagine Donald Trump making fun of somebody else's accent. But Kimmel gets away with it because he's got a bunch of, you know, mindless goons in the audience. The audience goes at least two, if not three rows deep. Then we got the Yale psychiatrist here who says it's now essential for liberals to cut off Trump voting loved ones during the holidays. Yale University chief psychiatry resident, Dr. Amanda Calhoun. Well, this is Amanda, baby, you're the chief psychiatrist resident at Yale. You're the one who needs a shrink. So speaking to MSNBC, Joy Reid, who has no joy at all, she's just ticked, about the ways liberals who are devastated with Trump's reelection can cope with the news, including separating from certain loved ones. So she says, so if you're going into a situation where you have family members, where you have close friends who you know have voted in ways that are against you, it's certainly fine to not be around those people and then tell them why. End quote. So you know what this means? It means it's also okay for us to tell them why we don't want to be around them. Isn't this a two-way street? It should be. Of course, we got the FEMA supervisor who ordered relief workers to avoid homes with Trump flags who gets fired. What a schlock she is. But you've probably already read about that. And then we're to the real crux of the issue here. After Trump's win, we have all these women. I don't know who all these are. They're saying all these women who are considering the 4B movement. B as in boy. But it stands for 4B words from South Korea as a form of protest by young liberal women on TikTok and Instagram sharing information about how straight women can refuse and should refuse to marry, should refuse to have children, to date, or have sex with men. Apparently they're fine with lesbos. Because lesbos aren't going to have kids, right? But they say they're only talking and encouraging straight women to refuse to marry, have children, date, or have sex with men. So you got this group, which is growing, pledging to not have sex with men, and then they're shaving their heads as well. Well, I mean, I guess let's just make yourself as unattractive as you possibly can. But the way I look at this, in my opinion, this is great news. Number one, if these women are not having sex, are getting married, having children, that means these children, their children they otherwise would have had, are not being born into crappy left-wing households. Number one. And number two, they're not getting abortions. I mean, can we safely say that if you're not having sex, you're not going to get pregnant, and you can't have an abortion if you're not pregnant? So if we have all these left-wing whack jobs refusing to engage with men, I'm thrilled because that means they're not getting pregnant, which means they're not killing more children. Do they not think of this stuff? There are fewer abortions, fewer murdered. We have perfect. Then we go over to Joey Scarborough, who, of course, says that the real cause of Harris's defeat is the fact that black and Hispanic voters are racist misogynists. Okay, so they're racist and they hate women. Kind of interesting where the left-wingers are actually targeting two key demographic components of their own party, blacks and Hispanics. I mean, who thought up this brilliant marketing idea? Let's attack the people who we have always relied on to get elected. Well, okay, why? I have to ask a question here. 91% of black women voted for Harris. So if 56% of the Hispanic men are racist misogynists for voting for Trump, then wouldn't 91% of black women be racist misandrists? A misandrist is a woman who hates a man. A racist misandrist? I mean, the numbers are compelling, are they not? Why would 91% of black women vote for Harris if they weren't at least partially or many of them racist and maybe misandrist because they hate men? Why doesn't the argument come right back to the left the same way? Well, they can't handle it. I mean, this is where the left just eats their own young. Oh, don't have sex and don't have shave your heads. We'll teach them. Well, hey, praise the Lord. Less, fewer abortions. All those black and Hispanic voters are racist misogynists. Hey, praise the Lord. They just joined the Republican Party. Then we get to the Hollywood elites. And this is the end of this component of the program. That they've complained about Trump and that they're going to leave the United States if Trump wins. That's what they said in 2016. And who does that include? Bruce Springsteen, Cher, Samuel Jackson, Whoopi Goldberg, George Lucas, Miley Cyrus, Johnny Legend, Chrissy Teigen, blah, blah, blah. And did any of them leave? No, they're all liars. These are the people that complain about politicians breaking campaign promises. And the only ones who break campaign promises is this goon squad who said they're going to leave, and of course they lie and they don't leave. Now they've all promised to leave again. Yep. How many kept their promises? None. Zero. I don't know of anyone that left in 2016, and I don't know of any one of them that has actually truly made the plans to leave the U.S. now, even though they said they're going to, and even though this defeat is far worse than any of them ever could possibly imagine. So they promise it again, and all I can say to this goon squad is take a hike, get lost, and don't let the screen door slap you in the fanny on the way out. So now moving on to the things that Donald Trump has accomplished without even having yet been sworn in. So we're moving from the rough side to the almost accidental good side before we get to his plans. These half of migrants in a U.S.-bound caravan turned around learning that Donald Trump won. He hasn't even assumed office, and people are turning around. Hamas wants peace. Iran's currency has crashed. Turkey wants now to be nice with us. Putin and Trump have talked 3 times in 2 weeks. Biden hadn't talked to Putin in 2.5 years. Look at the stuff that is going on. And Trump hasn't done anything except announce his plans and his cabinet. And that's all it takes. He's not even engaged with the left. Massachusetts and California has said, we will absolutely, as a quote, absolutely not comply with Trump's order to assist in deporting illegal immigrants. Perfect. Do you know that we don't have to deport the illegal immigrants? Because, I mean, just the threat of it and the process of it, where do they go? California and Massachusetts. We got rid of them out of 48 states. They go to the stupid states. This is how the left just keeps shooting themselves in the foot. We're not going to deport them. Well, then here you go, California. Here's 8 million in Massachusetts. Here's 4 million. You deal with it. Well, maybe we want to rethink that. What else is going on? The UN is getting really, really nervous. Trump hasn't really done anything yet. All that he's accomplished just by winning, they are afraid of getting an axe taken to the U.S. contribution to the U.N. budget. They should be worried. They should be worried about the lack of funding. I mean, 2018, Trump cut off $25 million in funding the U.N., plus another $7 million to cover costs for the U.N. Human Rights Council, which isn't about human rights. They're about destroying human rights. But catch this. American taxpayers pay one-third of the UN's annual budget. One-third for the entire world we pay. You and I. And it was $11.6 billion in 2020. And Biden blew it up to $18.1 billion, a 50% increase in subsidizing the slobs that spend all their time on American soil in New York at the UN building, and then bash Israel, and then bash us. I mean, we've got no friends, really, half a dozen friends at the UN. Why do we continue to subsidize that? We fund the hatred against us and Israel. One third. They need to be starved. You need to kick them out of the UN building in New York. Now, here's an idea. What, kick them out of the building in the UN, the UN building in New York. Have Trump then convert that entire building to condos, then sell the condos and pay down the national debt. Oh, boy. Here's another good thing that happened without anything really going on to encourage this. Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, says, we have thousands of retired ICE agents and police officers wanting to come back and help restore order on our border. Oh, my gosh. The guy hasn't gotten sworn in. And look what's going on. Now, to the formal plan. This is all sort of the consequential stuff of getting elected. This is a cool, oh, by the way, stuff that's going on that nobody has orchestrated. It's just happening. But let's move to his actual plan or plans. I mean, I can't fit this all in, but I want to start with what I think personally is the most important, and that is Donald Trump's education declaration. And why do I say this is the most important? Is because this is where we went south. We are where we are because of a crappy public or government school system that's involved in indoctrinating children. Not education, but indoctrination. And then unless that changes, we will be fighting the same battle every single election time with a lower and lesser chance of winning because we have more indoctrinated kids registering and voting. This has to change or we're screwed. It has to. And his educational declaration is the only way of being able to fix what has ruined this country or is in the process of ruining this country. Don't go away. I'm going to read this in its entirety, and you're going to be doing high fives and hallelujahs when we get done.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, 96 Tears by Question Mark and the Mysterians. Their only song, it's 96 Tears that Jimmy Kimmel is shedding, Doug Emhoff is shedding, Tampon Tim is shedding, 96 Tears each. I love it. Here is Donald Trump's, I hope I can fit these in. If I can't, I just do it next week. But I'm going to start with his education declaration. One, he said, and these are all quotes. First, we will respect parents' rights to control their children's education. Hallelujah. Second, we will empower parents and local school boards to hire and reward great principals and teachers and fire those who perform below par. I just have to insert here. Do you remember during the Trump-Biden debate, Trump said to Biden, he said, that's a problem. One of your problems, Joe, you never fire anybody. You got lousy people and you refuse to fire lousy people. Everybody you started with, they all got their job and they basically suck is what he was saying. Third, we will ensure our classrooms are focused not on political indoctrination, but on teaching the knowledge and skills needed to succeed, reading, writing, math, science, arithmetic, and other beneficial subjects. Fourth, we will prepare students to love their country and not hate it like they're trained to do now. Fifth, we will support bringing back prayer to our schools. Sixth, we will achieve safe, secure, and drug-free schools with immediate expulsion for any student who harms a teacher or another student. Seventh, we will give all parents the right to choose another school for their children. School choice. I just have to say this. I got goosebumps on my goosebumps. This is everything that it ought to be. It's everything that it once was a long time ago. Our educational system was the envy of the world. And now out of the developed nations, we are increasingly undeveloped. Oh my gosh, in our math and science, what are we? 27th or 28th out of 30? And we used to be number one. We suck. Internationally, worldwide, we suck. There is no other way to say it. Because woke has destroyed us. Dumbing down has destroyed us. I got to keep going here. Number eight, we will ensure students can access project-based learning experience to help train them for meaningful work outside the classroom. This is great. I mean, some guy or gal, a junior wants to be a welder. Let's get going on some of that stuff. Nine, we will strive to give all students access to internships and work experiences that can set them on a path to their first job. They're going to be very, very successful. And I love this line. I want them to be, this is Trump speaking, I want them to be more successful than Trump. I will then be the happiest person in the world. Donald Trump saying the happiest thing that he could imagine is that our kids in school are more successful than he is. And this is a guy with no small ego. 10. And another thing I'll be doing very early in the administration is, you ready? Closing up the Department of Education in Washington, D.C. and sending all education back to the states. And I've got to interject here. There is no federal authority over education. Do you know how they got the authority? Not constitutionally. They got the authority by saying, Congress, states, we will give you money if you do this. We will pay for your textbooks if you do this. They didn't have any authority other than they suckered all the states and drew them in by a bunch of government money. They bought the states off and thereby gained control over the textbooks, over the curriculum, and a bunch of bloated behinds in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere. Okay, I got to go back and I got to start this over because I interjected maybe too much of my own, but this is that important. Number 10, another thing I'll be doing very early in the administration is closing up the Department of Education in Washington, D.C., and sending all education back to the states. We're going to end education coming out of Washington, D.C. We're going to close it up, all those buildings all over the place, and yet people who, in many cases, actually hate our children. We're going to send it all back to the states. Thank you very much, Donald Trump. Oh, my gosh. The NEA has always hated him. People say, well, the National Education Association is going to hate Trump. The teachers are going to hate Trump. They've all hated him all along anyway. So why kowtow to somebody who's hated you? Just do what you need to do. Liberate the children of America. Set them free from the goon squads in the government schools. They aren't public schools. They're government schools. You can have any education you want as long as it conforms to what we tell you you have to do. The voucher system. Do you know who is stronger, more strongly supports, I guess I now said it right, than anyone else the voucher system? Black parents. 76% of black parents support voucher systems because they want to get their kids out of crappy, Democrat-controlled, dumbed-down schools that are telling them that they need to basically stay dumb and we're going to take care of you while you're on the plantation. No, they've had it with that garbage. No, it's the ones who are really against vouchers at government schools tend to be your wealthier, white, elitist, snobs, whatever. Gosh. That to me, this is the most important thing, is the liberation of our children from government control. No whisking a 14-year-old girls off for abortion. No sweeping them certain things under the rug that they are being told not to tell their parents. No more gender mutilation. No more all of this garbage that's from the pit of hell while the kids get increasingly more and more stupid as the day goes on. And what do they get when they get out of school and they go to college? What do the colleges teach now? Remedial math, remedial science, remedial spelling. All the stuff that they're not being taught in the government-dictated schools. All right, next. Trump's plan to deploy the National Guard and federal assets to major cities to restore law and order. And I'm just going to run through these because you need to hear it. This is what he's going to do. I'm going to sign a record investment in hiring, retention, and training for police officers. Next, return to proven policing measures such as stop and frisk, strictly enforcing existing gun laws. Next, take on and, if needed, prosecute radical Soros Marxist prosecutors who are not enforcing the law. Next, give victims of radical left prosecutors who choose not to prosecute criminals. This is, I don't know who thought this up. I wish I could say I did. I didn't. But I got to start it over. I get too excited. Give victims of radical left prosecutors who choose not to prosecute criminals the ability to sue local officials for the harm and suffering for failure to prosecute. And then Trump gives an example. So if your small business is pillaged because shoplifting goes unpunished, or you're brutally attacked by a violent felon who's released without bail or bond, you'll be able to sue the local officials and be entitled to massive damages. Next, instruct the DOJ to dismantle every gang, street crew, and drug network in America, and the death penalty for drug dealers and human traffickers. Next, deploy federal assets, including the National Guard, to restore law and order when local law enforcement refuses to act. Next, overhaul school discipline and juvenile justice. Education and justice departments need to be overhauled and their federal standards overhauled on disciplining minors. When troubled youths are out in the streets going wild, we need to stop it. The consequences will be swift, certain, and strong. And then the next one, oh my gosh, my gosh. Oh, I've just got so many favorites, I can hardly stand it. Sign concealed carry reciprocity. The Second Amendment will no longer end at the state line. Are you listening, Gavin Newsom? Are you listening, you twit? Are you listening that we here in Arizona can have concealed carry permits, would be able to come into your state with our guns, where we'll be able to protect ourselves and other innocent people? This is incredible. Now, if you're not a concealed carry owner, maybe this doesn't mean so much, but you ought to be. You ought to get licensed, learn how to use it lawfully, properly. Last but absolutely not least, secure the border, dramatically increase our interior enforcement of our immigration laws, and wage war on the cartels. Then next, gosh, it's just unbelievable. Trump's 10-step plan to overhaul and root out, dismantle the deep state. Are you excited? If I was listening to this program and I'd never heard this stuff, I wouldn't even be able to sit down. I'd be pacing around. Number one. Well, no. Trump started this with, quote, "I will shatter the deep state and restore government that is controlled by the people." What a concept. On day one, we will reissue the 2020 executive order restoring the president's authority to fire rogue bureaucrats. Two, overhaul federal departments and agencies, firing all of the corrupt actors in our national security and intelligence apparatus. Three, fundamentally reform the FISA courts, ensuring that corruption is rooted out. Four, establish a Truth and Reconciliation Commission to declassify and publish all documents dealing with deep state spying, censorship, and abuse of power. Do you know how many people in D.C. working for these agencies, as I read these things from education to the DOJ, that they're busy wetting their pants? 5, launch a major crackdown on government leakers who collude with the media to create false narratives, pressing criminal charges when appropriate. Make every inspector general's office independent from the departments they oversee so that they do not become protectors of the deep state. 7, establish an independent auditing system to continually monitor our intelligence agencies to ensure that they are not spying on our citizens or running disinformation campaigns against the American people. 8, continue Trump administration effort to move parts of the federal bureaucracy outside of the Washington swamp. Up to 100,000 government positions would be moved out of Washington. 9, ban federal bureaucrats. This is big. Federal bureaucrats from taking jobs at the companies they deal with and regulate, like Big Pharma. 10, push for a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on Congress. Oh my gosh, this is just unbelievable. Now that's the plan. Here's the insight as to the people. I can't go into all of the great people Trump has nominated. Some will be better than others. They got to be scaring the bejeebies out of the left. I mean, when you have people like Matt Gaetz, who is targeted over and over again by the DOJ, end up running the DOJ? That's why FBI agents are starting to retire en masse. They want early retirement. They don't want to be around. They want to try to sell their home when they can still get a fair price for it in D.C. instead of the big housing glut they'll be because a bunch of jobs are whacked. But my favorite here is the Department of Government Efficiency to be run by Elon Musk, my new favorite, and one of my old favorites, Vivek Ramaswamy. I've loved this guy forever, back before anybody knew how to spell his name. I've loved these two guys for the reason that I love Trump. They're entrepreneurs. They don't come from the government. They haven't grown or gone through life sucking and drinking and eating out of government pig troughs. They've gone out and made a successful business the way it ought to be done. Like Calvin Coolidge said, the business of America is business. And if you remember from going back a year, Trump and Ramaswamy were the only two people I recommended in the political race for the Republican nomination. The only ones. And the only ones, why? Because they're the only ones who were business people who made jobs. They created jobs. They didn't come out of the swamp. They had no connection with Washington, D.C., which is why Washington, D.C. hates them. You want to know who you should love, who you should support? You should love and support and pray for every person that the mainstream media hates, that the Democrats hate, that the ones that they keep talking about, hoping that they'd fail and never know peace, those are the ones you want in office. Because the Democrats have run, and rhinos have run Washington like a charity. And, of course, every charity runs on other people's money. Now, I'm not against charitable organizations. I worked for one. I will not tell you what one it was, but I couldn't stand it because they were working always with other people's money. There didn't seem to be the degree of accountability. There is no accountability in Washington, D.C. All right, so what's the big threat that everybody's concerned about? Of course, it would be another attempted assassination. And I have listed all these agencies and elements or contingents of American governance and society that would have any one of a number of actors who can't stand Trump because he is more moral. He's not perfect, but he's clearly more moral than any one of these agencies, Hollywood elites, go up and down the line. He is going to roast them and toast these agencies. They're scared of losing their jobs. They're also they're scared of being exposed. They're scared of getting prosecuted. So the concern would be, which one of those would have the greatest motivation to try to take out Donald Trump? I was contemplating that in the preparation of this program. And it came to me. We would not know exactly who it is. The ones who have the greatest motivation to have Donald Trump eliminated would be all those who would be revealed on Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island guest list. That's the who's who. Those are the elites. It'll be Clinton and maybe some British royalty. There's probably some Republicans in there. But you know who's not in there, even though they try to link him? Trump. He's not going to come out and expose the list that he's on. I think, this is personal with me, that this is the greatest threat to Trump is going to come from a semi-inside job in collusion with the CIA or the FBI, but motivated by those who are the most fearful and the scaredest, if that's a word, of all. Being outed as a pedophile at Epstein's Island. Oh my gosh. But stuff is going to happen after January 20th. And how do I know that? How many times have you heard Corinne Jean-Pierre, lesbienne, and Biden, and everybody else talk about a smooth transition? We want a smooth transition. We're going to have a smooth transition. Look, the more you say it, the more I know you don't mean it. How do I know that? I worked as an insurance adjuster for a number of years before I went to law school. And when I had there would be a claim. Let's say somebody's house burned or what, or a theft loss. And somebody would say, you know, I've never had an insurance claim before. I said, well, that's good for you. And then they would have another, they'd say, I've never had an insurance claim before. They say, I've never had an insurance claim before. About the third time they would say it, I know that they've had an insurance claim, and I would I would file with the Cleveland Index Bureau a search on whether they had an insurance claim before, and I'd find out that they had two or three other theft claims with other insurance companies, all because they said it too many times to try to clear themselves from any possible suspicion that they were guilty of stealing their own property and filing a claim. That's how I know what the left is doing. Ad nauseum, they're saying, we just want a smooth transition. I mean, and then Corinne Jean-Pierre, lesbienne, says it the other day. She said, you're going to hear me say it a lot more times. Why? Because when all hell breaks loose after January 20th, they want to be able to say, look, we had a smooth transition. How many times did we have a smooth transition? Because they know and will be part of a smooth transition, well, on the surface, but conspiring to wreak havoc in ways that they will be distanced from by their rhetoric and by their pre-inauguration behavior, public behavior. That's what they're going to do. They're going to create this distance from what will happen after January 20th. You know, there's this, who was it? I think it's Shakespeare, right? Well, somebody tell me if I'm right or wrong. RedSkyRadio777@gmail.com. Was he not the one who said that methinkest that thou doth protest too much? When you protest too much, we're on to you. We know that you're hiding something. You're going overboard to try to clear yourself of an accusation, an incrimination, or a connection with some nefarious deed. That is exactly what the current administration is doing. And you've heard it first here. I haven't heard anybody say this. And you know what? I really, truly hope I am wrong. I hope that everything is quiet and as peaceful as can be after the inauguration. I just don't think so. There are a few things I come and say on the air, and nobody more than I wants to be wrong about the prediction. But my training as an attorney, as an insurance adjuster, listening to this ad nauseum about how they want a smooth transition tells me that they don't want it. They just want the rabble-rousing and the destruction to occur after the inauguration. Pray, pray, and pray some more. Intercede for Donald Trump. But now you have a whole cabinet list of people to intercede for. God bless you. Sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. See you next week.